that's all.
Welcome to your life.
Robert Glasper from the album Black Radio 3. Got some Grammy love for that one. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, featuring Layla Hathaway. Tears of Fear song. Layla Hathaway, been a part of the Undercurrent sound for a long time. I've always loved her voice and her style and the way she approaches things. Maggie Rose on Undercurrents. What Makes You Tick, featuring Marcus King. And it was Al Green with Tired of Being Alone. It's Undercurrents. We'll be right back with the guy that invented the slap funk bass and was the bass player for Sly and the Family Stone in the early days, Larry Graham. That's coming up in just a minute.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 21st. Your contribution goes towards Grassroot Community Radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders of personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien.
Before we get started, a reminder that KBOO's membership drive is going on now. KBOO is commercial-free, volunteer-powered radio made possible by people like you and me. You can help us reach our fundraising goal today. Please go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO at 44321. And thank you very much. We appreciate your support.
MDMA, often called ecstasy or Molly, is an amazing medicine for treating everything from PTSD to anxiety to depression. This therapy has been proven to help thousands of people successfully heal from trauma, restore love in their relationships, and overcome their psychological challenges. Our guest today is quite an expert on the subject of MDMA therapy, and he is the author of a new book, Ecstasy as Medicine. How MDMA therapy can help you overcome trauma, anxiety, and depression and feel more love. Our guest is Jonathan Robinson, who's been on the show a number of times, and we're very happy to have him back. Jonathan is a psychotherapist, a best-selling author of 14 books, and a professional speaker from Northern California. He has reached over 200 million people around the world with his practical methods, and his work has been translated into 47 languages. Well, hello, Jonathan, and welcome back to the Pathways Show.
Good to see you again, Paul.
Now, in your book, and I loved it, it's so educational and so practical, as are most of the things you write. You describe yourself as an underground therapist, and I assume that this is related to the MDMA work. Can you define what that means and tell us, does that not require some special courage?
Well, an underground therapist is, I mean, when you do MDMA therapy, it's not currently legal. So it might become legal in the next year or so, but you have to do this in a way that is, you know, a little bit quiet. But law enforcement's not really interested in busting one person doing therapy to help another person when 120,000 people a year are dying of fentanyl overdoses. So I haven't really worried about that aspect of it. And what also makes it unique and very, very safe legally is I do almost all my sessions over Zoom. And that kind of, like, you know, weirds people out. They think, well, how can you do this over Zoom? It actually works better over Zoom than in person. So, you know, I'm allowed to talk to people about whatever they want to talk about while on Zoom. So it's really no legal risk to me.
Uh-huh. So that's interesting. You know, describe how that works for somebody who's your client on a Zoom call. And what's that like? I mean, you claim that the boundaries and comfort created via Zoom sessions work much better. But then I wonder about what is it like for a person on the medicine to stay focused on a screen?
Well, it's really interesting. People on MDMA have no trouble focusing for 5 hours on a screen. In fact, they never even ask for a break. I'm usually one that says, hey, I got to take 5 minutes to go to the bathroom or something. And that's one of the interesting things about MDMA. It gets you very focused. And the fact that they're comfortable in their own house makes it very nice for them. They don't have to worry about driving home somewhere or anything like that. It's very convenient. I can charge a lot less than having to have a separate office. And it's I have people from 20 different countries doing therapy with me over Zoom. And it's really a breakthrough in this type of therapy. I lead a training. My last training had over 280 people in it, you know, therapists, coaches, etc. And everybody's finding that doing this over Zoom is actually works better than doing it in person.
Wow. It's amazing, because I've done MDMA therapy a couple of times, and I'm basically laying on a bed on the floor, and I've got my eyes closed, and there's a soundtrack, and my counselor is there, and I talk to her whenever I feel like it, but it's not like a constant. I'm not my eyes aren't open. I'm not focused on you know, looking at somebody. So that seems very different.
This is I created a very different protocol. What you did was what's called the MAPS protocol, and that's something that is useful for many people. Mine is more like a 5-hour therapy session. People's eyes are open. We're talking, taking them through various therapeutic processes. People who've done both generally prefer my approach because it goes deeper. It goes really to the heart of people's issues. It's more directive. And in some ways, it's even more fun because people on MDMA do like to talk and connect. But it's a very different approach, and I outline all about it in the Ecstasy as Medicine book.
Oh, you sure do. I mean, it's incredible how helpful that book would be to somebody who wants to be a psychedelic sitter. Now, let's talk about the medicine itself. I mean, Molly's been around for a long time, party drug for raves. I can't even imagine what that's like. I think they must be, you know, combining it with alcohol and cocaine or something. Is that true? What is the difference between the medicine that people took to party and what you're working with?
Well, often there is no difference, though sometimes in the club scene people would add caffeine or methamphetamine to their ecstasy or Molly or MDMA. The set and setting that a drug is taken in has a huge effect. So I create a therapeutic setting. When you go to a rave, it's a party setting. And MDMA is very flexible in terms of what it creates, depending on the set and setting. And a lot of people who've taken it in raves say, well, this is a therapy drug. And then they take it as a therapy drug and they say, man, that's incredible. You know, a laptop can be used as a doorstop, but there's better uses for a laptop than a doorstop. And there's better uses for MDMA than as a party drug.
Right. And why do you think there's such a resurgence in interest in psychedelics and MDMA therapy at this time? It can't all be due to Michael Pollan's great book.
Well, that didn't hurt. Certainly MAPS has funded these great studies that show that it's very effective for helping people with PTSD. It's very effective for helping people over addictions. It's used for anxiety, and some of these other psychedelics are getting these good studies that show that they're just a lot more effective than the drugs out there, like antidepressants. You know, antidepressants don't work for probably 80% of people really well. And drugs like MDMA or psilocybin, ketamine, they tend to work better than what the big pharma is putting out.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know. And why do you think the traditional ways of dealing with mental health challenges are so ineffective?
Well, you know, they haven't changed a lot in 150 years. You look at most technologies in the last 150 years, things have changed a lot, you know, but in psychotherapy, we're still kind of doing the Freudian model of talk therapy, which isn't very effective. So I feel like when I do I lead a five-hour MDMA journey with somebody, I'm doing about two to three years of therapy in that one day. You know, you get right to the heart of stuff, you reprogram it, you help people overcome their trauma. It's just really moving for me. I really love doing it. And people, you know, save a lot of time and money by doing something that's just a lot more effective.
Is that the bulk of your working time, is doing these guided Zoom therapy sessions?
Yeah, I do a little bit of coaching. And, you know, after I do the journey, we do some integration work because I'm trying to get them to take the insights and things that they learned on their journey and bring them into their life.
Right.
So I do some coaching as well. But mostly it's these journeys. And I find it the most fun and the most moving and the most interesting. You know, I'm a little bit impatient as a former psychotherapist. I actually gave up my license a few years ago. But, you know, one of the things is I just didn't like, you know, doing weekly talking about people's problems and not getting quick results. You know, I like things to happen quickly and for transformation to happen, you know, much more effectively than most talk therapies.
Yeah, I have often wondered, you know, I've done a lot of different modalities and therapies and personal growth work over the years, as have you. And I've often wondered, you know, sometimes think, well, you know, you heal the patient or help the patient heal, then you lose business, right? So you sort of like there's an inverse motivation to prolong things. Not that people are doing that on purpose, but I agree with you. Talk therapy doesn't seem that effective. How does MDMA help with addiction? I'm not clear on that.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, unfortunately, there's not enough research to show exactly how that's happening. But the studies that have been done have shown that it's probably, you know, the most dramatic thing out there in terms of helping people. My guess is that you get in touch with this sense of peace and love through this medicine. And I try to teach people how to get back to that place without the medicine. Most addiction is really trying to feel more peaceful or more connected. And when you learn how to do this on your own through MDMA and some of the things that you learn on MDMA that help you to get there, then the need for the addictive substance just gets a lot less. The other thing is that a lot of times people with addictions have lots of excuses, rationalizations that hide what's really going on. And MDMA is almost like a truth serum that way. You know, you just see clearly, oh my God, I'm destroying my life. I'm hurting the people I love. And when you see that really clearly, it's much easier to let go and to take a new path.
Okay. You know, you have worked with internal family systems therapy as a part of the way that you process or that you help people with an MDMA session. I'm pretty familiar. We've had a number of shows on IFS here on Pathways. That's such an interesting approach to psychology, the parts model. And how does that dovetail nicely with MDMA therapy?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm not really a good IFS therapist. You know, I've taken a week-long training and I've read a couple books. But the great thing about MDMA is that everything works better. You know, so a lot of people who've done sessions with me say, yeah, you're the most amazing IFS therapist. No, I'm not. But on MDMA, everything works better. So, you know, the parts are very much able to speak. You're able to heal the parts. You're able to ask them what they need. And MDMA just makes that process so much easier. Whereas when I do IFS therapy with clients not on MDMA, you know, it can take months before I get to a place where the parts are feeling healed and getting what they want. So I just find that MDMA is like this amazing medicine for helping accelerate all therapeutic outcomes, whether it's dealing with addiction or trauma or using IFS. It's like a magnifying glass that just gets you right to the core of the issue. And that's why I like it so much.
Do you still do psychotherapy, you know, like a 50-minute session type of deal anymore? Or are you strictly facilitating these medicine trips?
I'd say maybe I do 10% of that. More. I don't do so much psychotherapy as I do some couples counseling.
I see.
And not everybody wants to take MDMA, but... You know, for those people who don't, I'll do couples counseling. I have a couple books about couples counseling. And then, of course, I do MDMA with couples. And that's really fun because, you know, MDMA first became popular as a therapist drug for couples because people were getting such amazing results from it. If you've ever taken MDMA with a partner, you know, it brings in the love. It helps you to see the obstacles, work things out. So I do a little bit of couples counseling, and then I do also couples counseling with MDMA, which of course is a lot more fun, and you can get incredible results in one day.
So, okay, a 5-hour Zoom session, that must be pretty expensive. I mean, that's been one of the obstacles, I think, of the MAPS protocol. You know, you've got to have two therapists. Yeah. So can you give us a rough idea of what it would cost somebody to do a session like that?
Yeah. Well, I train a lot of people and I say that they should start. First of all, the protocols, they do 1 hour, what I call discovery call, learning about the person, seeing what their intention is, et cetera, seeing if it's safe to do with them, like certain conditions don't work well with MDMA. For example, if you're on antidepressants, you have to wean yourself off.
That's tough.
But so they do a 1 hour session, usually on Zoom, and then we set a time for the 5 hour session. They get the medicine, we do that, and then usually about a week later we do another integration session. So it's about 7 or 8 hours of work. I charge on a sliding scale from $1,300 to $2,000 for that entire package.
I see.
Other people that I train sometimes charge as little as $700 for that entire package. So right. It ends up being, you know, instead of spending $10,000 over 2 years on therapy, you're getting the results you want in like, you know, $1,000 sometimes.
Right, right. And so the people that you train, I mean, do you teach them to use your 20 questions? I mean, you came up with a list of 20 questions that you found useful to explore with clients on MDMA.
Well, the training, it ended up being the largest training of facilitators in the world. We've had several hundred people through it. And it's 30 4 hours of video and hundreds of pages of documents. So it's there's a lot there. You have to go over set and setting and contraindications and harm reduction and certain medicines that don't work well with it and all the therapeutic things, IFS and other trauma reducing things. I mean, there's a lot there. I have various medical doctors talking. It's not like, you know, here's a couple hours, go ahead, do it. I want to make sure people are well prepared. And if people want to find out about it, they can go to mdmatraining.net and I talk all about it and they can apply for that. It's totally online. And, I want to make sure that people really know what they're doing, because when people are on MDMA, they're vulnerable, and you want to make sure that you're using the best questions, the best therapeutic techniques to get quick results that will last.
Now, I noticed that I've done it 2 or 3 times, and I think I had pure quality medicine because I trusted my therapist. And so I was doing 120 milligrams and then maybe a 60 milligram booster. Or maybe I think I did 125 plus 60 something, whatever. Well, then I was really out of it the next day. In other words, I was just I was really kind of like, I wouldn't say hungover, but I was just de-energized. Is that a normal thing to have a reaction like that? Or is that just because I'm getting old?
Well, I'd say about 1/3 of people tend to have that reaction, the next day. In the Ecstasy as Medicine book, I talk about several supplements you can take that will tend to help you with that and often eliminate such things. So it's important to know what those, what those supplements are.
Yeah, what do you think about taking a benzo to go to sleep that night? That helped me once.
Yeah, it's fine to take sleep medication the night of a journey, and that can help people go to sleep.
And what are the most common reasons that people come to you for MDMA therapy?
Well, it used to be trauma, because it's well known for helping people with that.
Right.
But recently, I would say that, I'm getting a lot of couples, a lot of people looking for more joy and helping them with depression. One of the things I do is I help people figure out what they're doing in their body, their mind, and emotions to feel more love, peace, and joy. And then when they're not on the medicine, they have an easier time replicating that. So that's been, you could call that a spiritual thing now, how to achieve higher states of consciousness. And I've been surprised in the last year or two, a lot of my clients are using it for that purpose.
And how do you avoid legal problems dealing with what is currently illegal in most countries?
Well, two things. One is, I do most of my sessions over Zoom, so you can talk to people over Zoom about anything. That's not illegal.
Right.
They get the medicine. And
Would it be illegal if you were talking to them in person? I don't understand why Zoom.
Well, if you're giving people medicine in your office, illegal medicine, then you are at risk.
Right.
If they need help getting the medicine, I can help them find a person that can do that for them. But I don't deal with giving or selling medicine at all, the MDMA. So in that way, I'm not at any legal risk. And nobody's ever been arrested in the United States for doing this type of therapy over Zoom. It's just perfectly safe.
Right. And how do people avoid problems with the medicine, you know, such as impurities, unpleasant side effects?
Well, in the book and in my training, I go into how you can test the medicine very easily for like $2. And there's things like fentanyl test strips that you can buy for $2. That's one thing. But also, I suggest that they get it from a trusted source. meaning somebody who has a reputation for always having good medicine. The good news is that MDMA usually is not mixed with dangerous chemicals. So in that way, it's relatively safe. You know, aspirin in the United States kills 500 people per year. You know, that's aspirin. Right. MDMA only kills 6 people a year, you know, through overdose. So it's a lot safer. Fentanyl kills 120,000 people a year. So right. You're talking about pretty low risk medicine compared to other things.
Okay. Now, how does MDMA therapy help somebody with motivation? I know that this is actually, even though I do a lot, I have the radio show and I write books, and you know, like yeah. you, and I'm still contributing. I'm fairly active, but you know, I've been struggling with boredom and apathy for the last 5 years. You know, and you say you don't need a system to stay motivated. You only need a goal you desire.
No, I think you do need a system. I do think you need a system that helps. But, you know, one of the things I do with MDMA is help people get clear about what is really important to them. Mm-hmm. Clarity is power. That's one thing. And then a system can help people keep moving towards their most important goals and values. And as you probably know, Paul, in my book, Ecstasy as Medicine, I go into a motivational system that I have found to be really the most effective on earth. It's the only thing that ever worked for me. It's the only thing that works for my clients. And what I like about it is it only takes about 3 minutes a week to do that system, but it's very, very effective.
Yeah, no, that was interesting. There's so many practical tips. I love the way that you always go to the practical tips, you know, and like what you say, I heard you on another interview with somebody where you talked about one of your antidotes to worry is your blah, blah, blah method. Yeah. I thought, wow, that's great. Because I can imagine that part, you know, looking at IFS and the parts of the mind and all that. I can imagine that part that is the worry part, you know, being neutralized by the blah, blah, blah method.
Yeah, I like methods that can be done in under 20 seconds. And, you know, recently, Paul, I went through a really hard time for about 6 weeks, which is unusual for me, but it was very difficult. And I was being unfairly attacked in some ways by a couple of people. And I was just, you know, ruminating about how unfair it was. And when I would find myself ruminating, I would go, blah, blah, blah. You know, I got sick of hearing my own thoughts.
Right.
And I found that that would interrupt those types of thoughts so I could get back to whatever I was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of a technique junkie where I'm always looking for really good methods that can help people, right, including myself, really quickly.
Well, you know, they say this is the age of anxiety. Do you think that we just have a lot more anxiety as a people these days, or is that just that we're more aware of it than ever before?
I think we actually have more anxiety and more depression. It's a very challenging time for human beings. You know, we live in a very different culture than what our DNA had us do. And, you know, we're often very separate from nature. We haven't figured out ways to get along with each other really well. And then you have, you know, all the media and social media creating all kinds of thoughts and aggravation. So a lot of people are having a very hard time. And that's why we need more effective modalities for helping people quickly.
Right. Well, you know, we've only got another minute, and I'd like to just ask you kind of a global question is, you know, what are some of the most important things you've learned from your experience as an MDMA therapist and user?
Well, I think that everybody has different things that work for them. And if you haven't tried, you know, MDMA therapy, it's one of those things that I think it's the best healing modality on the planet. But you want to find a good guide, somebody who has experience. And once you get certain insights, you do need a system or a coach or something to bring those insights into your life. It's not, you know, just insight or information is not transformation.
Right.
So one of the things I try to do is get people to know what changes would make the biggest difference in their life, and then come up with a system of motivation that makes sure that they do that ongoingly. And that can be amazing. You know, nothing succeeds like success. And when you see it, you're really making progress. That feels good. And if people want to be an MDMA therapist or think about it, they can, you know, go to mdmatraining.net and look at what that program is about. I think this whole field is exploding, and it's good for people to try stuff to see what works for them.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. There's so much more we could explore, but we've run out of time today. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website. What would be one website would be the best conduit for them?
Well, for this, it would be xtcasmedicine.com.
Okay.
That has a lot of information there about the trainings and the work and all kinds of background, okay, too.
Okay, well, thank you. And for those who may have tuned into Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Today, we've been visiting with Jonathan Robinson, author of Ecstasy as Medicine, How MDMA Therapy Can Help You Overcome Trauma, Anxiety, and Depression and Feel More Love. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet. Podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com, as well as via iTunes and other free podcast servers. And do remember to help KBOO reach our membership drive goal by showing your support today at kboo.org.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our Wake Up the Neighborhood Fall Membership Drive, taking place now through September 21st. Your contribution